Hey A1 fans, Andy here. We're going to Cisco Live and we can't wait to see you there. If we see you wearing an A1 or Cables to Cloud shirt at Cisco Live, we'll enter you in our giveaway that includes a bunch of cool prizes like an A1 branded Yeti cup and an OCG of your choice from our friends at Cisco Press. Don't have a shirt? No problem. Head to the link in our bio and grab yours today. See you soon.
This is the Art of Network Engineering podcast. In this podcast, we'll explore tools, technologies, and talented people. We aim to bring you information to expand your skill sets and toolbox and share the stories of fellow network engineers. Welcome to the Art of Network Engineering. I am AJ Murray at No Blinky Blinky. Tonight, joining the roundtable, we have Aaron.
Yo!
Jeez, I was about to pull out my timer app to see how long you can keep that hang.
It all comes from the diaphragm.
It's pretty good. Flexing on us. All right, Andy, how's your lawn?
How's my lawn?
How's your lawn? Anybody on your lawn lately?
Kids around here know better than to get on my lawn, AJ.
If it touches the porch, it's mine.
They got to train them young.
Little inside joke for the A1 team. Dan, how's it going?
Howdy. It's going good.
Howdy Packet at Howdy Packet. You're really rocking the new Twitter handle, man. You're doing it justice. I love it.
Well, thank you. I'm trying, so.
Howdy Packet has arrived on the scene.
Finally.
It was worth the wait, if you ask me.
Oh, well, thank you.
We were having a good time this morning trying to figure out what sort of, if you guys have an idea, please send it to us. We were trying to figure out a really good logo for Dan, and the best thing that we could come up with was like a cross between Woody from Toy Story and the little paperclip, the 3D paperclip that used to show up in Windows when you would open a Microsoft Word document.
So, Clippy.
That's awesome. Clippy. His name's Clippy.
So if the thing that came to my mind was Mr. Hanky, because he goes, howdy ho!
Anyway.
So that's going to be it. You know that, Dan, right? That's totally
going
to be
it. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
All right. We have another person with us tonight. We will get to his introduction in just a second. Before we kick off this evening's discussion, we want to shout out to Carl in the Discord. He passed his NSOLID exam late last night. That is the Enterprise Design Exam.
Yeah, Carl.
Word is on the street. He took it at 11:30 p.m. He just kind of decided, I'm going to take this thing. He knocked it out. And this morning he posted on Twitter and in the winning channel in our Discord that he passed it. So congratulations, Carl. Also, yes. Congratulations to Bhavesh, as they go by in the Discord, for passing their JNCIA Junos exam. Congratulations, Bhavesh. Lots of winning going on in the Discord. We love hearing about that stuff. So keep posting, keep winning, and we'll keep talking about it here on the podcast. So tonight we are talking about what is a network engineer. And this conversation came out of the Discord, and it all started when somebody got on and, you know, they were trying to figure out, how do I become a network engineer? I'm only a network admin now. I'm just a network admin, and I'm doing iOS upgrades, and I'm planning rerouting traffic, and I'm doing all these other things. And it's just like, wow, it sounds like you're already a network engineer. You just maybe don't have the title. And so I think there's a lot of people that can probably relate to that. So we want to maybe kind of formally break it down, like what is a network engineer? And to kick us off tonight, I'm going to throw it over to our guest. He is Zig Siga. Zig, how's it going?
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me come on the show. I appreciate it. It's going great. I'm really excited to be here, you guys. Thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, man.
To kick us off, can you just give us a little bit of background on who you are, what you do?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Zig Siga. By day, I work at Cisco. I'm a customer delivery architect supporting the U.S. DoD sector and customer experience. And then Outside of Cisco, I run my own podcast, YouTube channel, and some outside courses, blog, all those, you know, nerdy things that we have on zigbits.tech. That's just me. I'm really just here to help people and guide them and kind of focus on design most of the time, you know, network design and designing and figuring out why we are doing what we're doing at a high level.
One of my favorite topics. I know Aaron loves design as well.
Dude, buddy, love some salads. I love salads. Actually, that's my wife. She loves salads. Not me. That's one of those things where it's like, oh, that salad comes with meat. I'm like, how about you just shovel the meat onto my plate and you can have the lettuce? And we'll share. That's called sharing. It's called compromise, folks.
Compromising.
That's right.
I'll eat a salad for like a week or two, and then I'm like, I can't do this anymore.
Wait.
I need meat.
Wait. The same salad? Okay. No, I just wanted to clarify, because if you were eating the same salad for a week, that's going to be a little weird.
That would be brown lettuce, I think, right?
Probably. After a few days.
Okay, so we at least know that you would use lettuce in your salad. What about spinach? Because would it wilt? Because I'm assuming iceberg, right? You're talking iceberg, because if we had a romaine mix in there that was missing a lot of the clear pieces, I feel like they wouldn't get as brown as quickly. Again, also, depends on where you store it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, putting the salad back in the fridge while you're eating it. Anyway, thanks for joining us.
So this is a salad conversation, you know?
Thanks. This is a salad. This is one salad conversation. Zig,
thanks for coming to Aaron's TED Talk.
Yeah, thanks for coming. I forgot to say that. So this is my thing, by the way. I just say something ridiculous, and then I go, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I appreciate it. The best 30 seconds of your life there. Chick-a-doo-doo. So Zig, thanks.
I learned a lot, too.
You did, probably. Thanks for coming, man. We appreciate it. The reason why we brought Zig on is basically that story that AJ just told. Zig, you are an architect, right?
Yes, sir.
And you work at Cisco, so you know you've got a vein into, you know, we'll call the mothership. It's like kind of why we all exist, but we just don't really ever talk about it. Cisco is just like this umbrella that we all kind of need for us to exist in this world. That's weird. Hope I can sleep tonight.
Gonna have nightmares later tonight.
Yeah, I'm gonna be architecting design or like designs like it, my life depends on it. But I
the
wanted
design architect flashing in your head.
Yeah, I wanted two egress points, but what are you gonna do for redundancy? So thanks for joining us. Let us talk real quickly, because we know what you do and where you work, but just so as like a reference point, what sort of certifications you got? This is like a softball question, because I know what you have, but I want you to humble brag about yourself for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, sure. So you're leading the witness, right? You kind of know what I'm going to answer. So
yeah.
Cisco-wise, so I have two CCIEs. The first one's in routing and switching, or the old route and switch. Now it's the enterprise certification. And then I have a service provider certification, service provider CCIE.
That's badass.
In addition to Lord. Yeah. I'm just a nerd, man. You know, I like the lab exams. I like a punishment, you know?
Yeah, we're going to have to talk about that at some point. But
yeah, of course. And then I have the CCDE as well. I can't call that one out, right? The CCDE.
You have to call that one out in your specific job title, because that is like who you are. Right.
Yes, that is me, man. That is 100% me. The CCDE is, and I don't want to go on a soapbox, but I think it's the best certification there is.
Interesting.
Hashtag goals.
Goals.
Hashtag goals. Yeah.
That's totally what I want to do. I want to get the CCDE.
That would be cool. I would love to have a CCDE. I would love to know a guy that did the same podcast as me that had a CCDE. And since Zig has his own podcast, that really only leaves you, AJ. So you should probably just get to work.
Well, you guys are always
maybe
welcome
in
on
a,
my podcast, too.
Maybe
you know,
in a year or two.
Talk about design.
We'll see.
True.
Yeah.
We'll do that, too. Maybe you can think of something cool for us to talk about. So you have the CCDE. You have a dual CCIE. One is in service provider, little near and dear to my heart. Those are, it's like summoning a magical spell if you say service provider in front of Andy, because he'll all of a sudden everybody's on his lawn. He's going to go
magical
ham.
Spell or a hex?
He's like, who dare you? How dare you talk about ISPs in front of me?
Conjuring I think it's like putting a pentagram out with candles. And
yeah. It's got a picture of AT&T in the middle of it, and it's just a big pentagram with candles. And he's out there having a seance at the Ouija board. He's like, these guys.
Sacrificing some old router.
Yeah.
We will sacrifice this ASR right now.
Right, yeah. Yeah. He's cutting
it That's what Andy does before every maintenance window.
It's called blowing steam off, guys. It is what it is. So Zig, I'm just going to ask you straight up. What is the difference between a network admin and a network engineer? Let me rephrase that. Give me the biggest, single most difference between a network admin and a network engineer. It's okay if it's hard. Yeah. I expected
it
to be.
No, it's hard, right? And that's the intent. So let me, you know, we didn't pre-lead any of these questions, right? So these are all real, raw, and in the wild questions on the fly. You know, I look at it at a high level that a network admin and a network engineer, I look at it as an evolution, obviously, right, which everyone knows. But yeah. I think it's more to that. It's more of to the point where network admin, you're taking a lot of direction from someone. You don't know how to compare things. You don't know the protocols enough to make those decisions in real time. And I think when you start becoming a network engineer, you start actually making those decisions, right? You start identifying that, hey, I do need multiple exit points, like you mentioned, Aaron, or maybe I do need to do some BGP work to do active-active, you know, internet edge architecture designs. I think that's where that kind of goes to. And if you have the title, if you don't have the title, I think that's semantics, right? I think it's all the way down to the fact that if you can actually start understanding the technology and making decisions around that technology, then I think you're a network engineer.
So basically what you're saying, just so I can, I'm going to kind of paraphrase just a little bit.
Yeah.
What you're saying is that the titles are just names, right? It's what you do based on how many decisions or how much control you have over change is really the glaring difference.
Yeah, I would say so in my eyes. I mean, maybe I'm missing some key point on
I don't think there's a wrong answer. Which is why I asked it, right? Because I think that all of us would probably give a different answer, and we would all lead back to like a similar conclusion, which is, yeah, there's an evolution there. but do you think that like, because this is where I don't like the evolution part, right? Which is like, by making one the next step, by default, that makes one of those the last step, which kind of by default really like lessens that a little bit, like being the network admin, right? So is that always the case, you feel like? And I'm not saying that like a net admin can't be a dual CCIE, like that, I guarantee you that exists out there, right? But what I mean is like, does that have to be like that? Like, can you have a net admin that's like, that does all those things that you described?
For sure, right? I don't think it's, I think it's subjective, right? I think that we have to say that from the get-go. I think it's subjective to where you're at, the market, the company, the role that you're filling, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember when I first started in the industry a long time ago, 20 years ago, I worked at a school district, and they didn't have a network admin role. They didn't have a network engineer role. They had sysadmins. That was it, and that was for everything. Like, we did networking work. We did help desk. Like, I was a sysadmin for an entire school district. And, you know, I was the network guy. I was the server guy. I was the help desk. You know, I went and installed applications on PCs, but then I went and troubleshoot the old switch that was there in the rack, right? Hmm. So I think it's very subjective to the vertical and the environment you're in. I think my, you know, quick definition could definitely apply to someone that's still a network admin, right? I think it's just a role designation within a company. But I do want to emphasize that when you start to making decisions, right, and I'll give an example because I think examples are key. As a network admin, someone's going to give you something that could be already scripted. That could be, you know, maybe it's you're adding a new VLAN, just a basic VLAN. You're told to add a new VLAN, and it's scripted, and you go add a VLAN to 100 switches or 20 switches. You know, that's probably a bad example. We'd probably automate that these days, right? But again, you know, a network admin would probably do that as a day-to-day task, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas a network engineer might configure those scripts to give to that network admin at a high level, right? They might be making those decisions on, you know, what is my router ID for OSPF, right? What is my area architecture for OSPF, as a quick example? Do I have one area, area zero, or do I have, you know, five different areas and five different area types? Whereas a network admin traditionally probably would be applying that configuration.
So kind of the feet on the street.
Yeah, exactly.
The grunts, right? Yep. The front line, the guys that go up the hill first that get shot at, right?
Yeah. So here's another example. You just got me on a thought, right? So when I was deployed in Iraq, I was a data guy.
First of all, did not mean to take you there. So sorry for that. I was joking about me not being able to sleep later. I totally understand the whole war thing. I appreciate your service. You've done an excellent job for us. I'm sure I could speak for everybody here. Thank you for that. But sorry if I took you to a bad place.
No, not a bad place. Not a bad place. Just an example, right? So okay. I would say that it just happened to be an example. I was deployed in Iraq, and I would say I was probably in that in-between stage between a network admin and network engineer. I was just beginning to becoming more of a network engineer than an admin. And I was on a trouble call. I was out at a site, and we had to configure this switch. And I was teaching another person who was a network admin what the range command is. Everyone kind of knows at a high level what the range command is on like a Cisco switch. You can do a range of interfaces, and you can shut, no shut, do the configurations, right? Well, I told him how to use the range command, and I walked away because I'm like, okay, he knows how to do this. He learned it. He can do it. And when I walked away, I came back 10 minutes later. He bricked the entire site because he shut down every single port. So we had to actually go into the switch and console into it and break it and get in, you know, and reconfigure it the right way. So I think that's a good example of putting it into perspective.
Okay. And maybe so that's why typically, because one of the things I'll throw out here is like experience, right? People always want experience when they're looking for network engineers. That probably goes hand in hand with that, because like if you would have been like an experienced network engineer, your job then is to make sure that that process of them using the interface range command is scripted at least, or you're watching them do it. All right.
Yes. Maybe, you know, I walked away. I probably shouldn't have walked away.
Probably shouldn't have walked away. Yeah. Probably shouldn't have done that.
You know, I probably shouldn't have walked away in that situation. I probably should have been over his shoulder making sure, hey, nope, you're going to break it. You're going to break it.
You know? Yeah. So. You know, it's funny. We talked about this a little bit with Knox too, because he brought up how like very early on in the show, it's like one of the very first episodes, I was mentioning that like it's cool if you want to stay a sysadmin, or not just a sysadmin, but like a network admin. Because like you said, it's kind of like the evolution, right? It's also where a lot of people start. You tend to need less experience for a role like that, getting out of the gate, maybe even less certifications or a lack thereof, period. So those have a lower barrier to entry, but at the same time, there's nothing wrong with staying at that job for 30 years. Like there's nothing wrong with staying at any job for 30 years, because what I think is cool about network admins, kind of like the same way with sysadmins, you're right. It's company vertical specific, all that stuff like that. You're right. Depends on how big your company is, number one, and all that. But I think that like there's a lot of cool stuff that you get to do at that level because you're more of like a generalist, right? So like, I guess one of the good examples is actually he works for AJ, which is Taylor, who we've had on the show. The guy does everything, and one of his things is that like it's because he's like being asked to do something, and then he just goes and figures it out, you know, and then now he's that guy. And I think he likes that. And I really don't see him like, this is just an example, but I just don't see a guy like him leaving that because he would have to give up so much. Yeah. Money talks, but
yeah, but money isn't everything,
but AJ's his boss. So you know, he's not getting any. Damn, burn.
So I want to say a couple things, if you don't mind, because you hit a couple topics, and I think that they're important to mention, right?
Yep.
I think you can be in any role for as many years as you want to be, right? I think there's a happiness in a role where you could have a good work-life balance. These days we call it work-life harmony, all that good jazz, right? But I also think that there's a difference between saying that you have 30 years of experience in that one role and then 30 years of experience in multiple roles, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's things that you're going to see in potentially multiple roles than you wouldn't see in that one same role that you didn't move from, right? I think there's a different context there. So if someone's looking to learn and evolve, like, was it Taylor? I think you said mm-hmm. Taylor, right?
Taylor, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that sounds like someone that's very driven, right? If you're a very driven person, I think that you're going to go far because you're going to constantly want to keep learning. Mm-hmm. And if you constantly keep learning, you're going to seek out those other situations, those other positions even, and you're going to, you know, thrive on that ability to learn and become better and kind of span yourself out into this market, into this industry.
So do you think then that somebody could just step off the street and be, go to school, whatever, even actually go, I'll take it to the extreme, go get a CCIE and then just get a network engineer position without ever doing admin stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Good.
I mean, I think it's all perspective, right? And I'm a big fan of saying that I don't care how much experience you have.
Share that. Hey, hold on. Can you say that louder for the people in the back? Because I don't think anybody's listening to you. Because if everybody could hear you say that, they would know that experience is just one of those things that they put on the job rec.
Yep. I don't know why, you know, and this is just my viewpoint, right? So I have to be that clear on that. Like, I'm not a big fan of saying that you need 10 years of experience in this role or 5 years or 15 years or 20 years, right? I want to know. There's going to be gates you have to get through, right? There's going to be requirements you have to get through, and they're usually going to be certification requirements because at first you have to get to the interview, right? That is, you have to get to the interview somehow. Now, when you get to that interview, all I care about is can you do the job? And can you handle situations that are high pressure, right? Because you're going to have high pressure situations as a network engineer. There's mm-hmm. going to be outages. There's going to be problems. How do you handle high pressure situations?
So how do you ask that question? Sorry, I'm not going to cut you off. But Sorry, I'm not going to cut you off as I cut you off.
You did.
So,
cut me off, right?
Right. No, but if I say sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. It's like it didn't happen. So how do you give us an example of you asking that exact question? Would you phrase it like that? Like, let's say you're interviewing a candidate right now and you want to make sure that they work good under pressure, work well under pressure. How would you ask them that without just being like, hey dude, how good are you working under pressure?
Yeah. So I've learned this over the years, right? So I've had mm-hmm. some candidates I've interviewed and have asked that question like, oh, I do great. I'm awesome.
Yeah. Like, wait, what would you say there? Right? Yeah, right.
I'm like, okay, let's hire you. Under pressure.
Actually, I fall apart under pressure and I cannot perform.
Yeah, right? Actually, this interview is one of the examples. I'm actually cracking right now because you're intimidating the hell out of me and I hate interviews. So I'm actually just going to head out. Nice.
Well, so this is what I do, and it might be right, it might be wrong, but it's worked a great amount of times. My language is horrible today. It's worked a number of times. So I actually set up a lab, and I force all my candidates to go through a lab. Now, I'm not saying it's a CCI lab, because it's not. It's not a CCI lab. It's not even a CCMP lab, all right? Like, I want to see what they're going to do in a position that they weren't prepared for. That's it. I want to see. You know, I give them 10 questions. Most of them are basic questions.
Hold on, Andy's right? Shaking his head. What's the problem, Andy?
No problem. That sounds very familiar. I've had interviews like that, Zig, where they throw scenarios at me that I cannot handle because they want to see how I'm going to act under pressure. And
yeah.
At the time, I didn't know that.
Well, right? Are they going to lie?
Are they going to run out the door crying? Are they going to lie? Are they going to?
So, Zig, what if I sat down? I'm just going to give an example here.
Yeah.
You sit me down. You saw my illustrious resume, and you're like, I gotta talk to this dude.
All right.
It was really my LinkedIn profile. You're like, wow, this is really well written, sir. Thank you. Also, sweet headshot. You're like, I gotta have this guy in. You sit me down. You get me in front of the thing. You're gonna see if I crack under pressure. What if I'm just like typing away, and I look at you dead in the eye, and I go, look, bro, I have no idea what I'm doing because I didn't think I was gonna do this today. Sorry. Are you going to appreciate the honesty, or are you going to be like, let's just part ways? I'd be like, look, man, not my day, but I could get this for you.
So I would definitely appreciate the honesty, right? I think honesty is more important than anything else, right? So in that situation, I'm personally grading how you act in your personality in the situation, right? Are you going to be truthful? If you're not going to be truthful to me, that's a problem. Right, I want to know that you're going to be truthful and you're going to tell me up front, hey, I can't do this, or hey, I need some help, right?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I can coach you, right? In that situation for you, let's say you came in and you started typing on the keyboard, and I want to be clear, in that lab environment, this is how I set it up, and it's high pressure, right? 10 questions. They have the questions on a piece of paper. They get one terminal. They get access to 10 devices. They have to answer those 10 questions in 30 minutes, and everyone gets to watch their screen. Everyone on the team. So what we do is it's a screen share.
I'll be honest with you. This sounds awful.
On the terminal. Okay. Okay. One question. Do you allow them to use the question mark? Is that doctor? Okay.
Yes. No. So tab. Let me put it in perspective, guys. Like, tab. Yeah. I've actually had candidates tell me that they knew PuTTY or they knew how to use secure CRT, and then I give them PuTTY, and they're like, "What's this?" We've actually hired people that have never been on the command line before. In the past, and I'm just like, how in the world you have your CCMP? How in the world have you never been on the command line? It's a paper cert, right? It's someone that has a paper cert, got through the recruiting process. We hired them because they answered some questions right before we added this lab environment. I mean, it's just not fair, right?
I could
not
see
a good
that
situation.
I could see that now. I can see that happening now because the CCMP is much different. But prior to March, I was doing more typing and configuring. Like, I mean, obviously T-Shoot, right? Like that was hard. And that whole thing was that, right? I mean, it's less configuring and more obviously T-Shooting, but nevertheless, like I knew what the problem was. I knew what commands it took to fix it so that when I was going through the answers, I was like, yep. But I could see the paper part of that being, that's good to weed people out, you know? I just don't know how well I would do in that environment because, like, I don't CLI. I'm like you. I don't CLI every day. I'm kind of an architect, but it's just not something I do. So, like, it might take me a minute, you know?
But that's fine. Like, that's fine if it takes you a minute. I mean, you have access to Google. Like, it's like, show me what you can do.
Dude,
like,
you got, yeah.
Like,
I could do brain surgery off YouTube. Are you joking me?
Right? Like, I don't know everything.
So Zig, you guys were talking about experience, right? You don't like that experience gets posted in job postings, right? That's what we springboarded off of. I think I'm thinking of a guy I used to work with. He was like a senior guy when I started and I didn't know anything. And he had a theory, which I think kind of rings true, that most companies, he thinks, want 5 years of experience. The reason being is 40 hours a week over the course of a year times 5 years is 10,000 hours. And Gladwell, you know, Malcolm Gladwell, the 10,000 hour thing is a cliche for a reason. So if you hire a guy, his theory was if you hire a guy with 5 years plus experience, he's not going to use an interface range command and shut down an entire site. You know what I mean? Because he has experience, he's not a paper certed guy. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying that, you know, I hate when they put experience on a job posting, but if you're hiring people, right, and they might be paper certed. At least if they've worked in a production environment for 5 years, they're not going to do something stupid that a guy who never touches anything, has never worked in production, and has a paper cert, you know, would. They don't have that muscle memory. They don't have that experience. So, you know, I hate those postings that say, you know, triple CCIE, 50 years experience only. It's BS. We know that the job posting is BS. But I think some of that experience, at least from my old buddy Joe's view, was that a place doesn't want to hire a guy who doesn't know how to use PuTTY, who's going to kill a site because he doesn't know how the interface range works. It's such basic things that somebody with 4 or 5 years experience knows they've done it. And so anyway, that's my 2 cents on experience. No, I think there's something to be said for having some experience in production.
There is.
Opposed to zero. I agree. I'm not saying that you don't have any experience, right? I think the issue that I really care about here is that when we say you need 5 years of experience of doing something, are you actually doing something that's that task for 5 years straight, right? Like, because again, it comes down to you're not always doing that task every day, right? Mm-hmm. If it's ASAs or if it's routing or whatever, you're potentially doing other things and maybe you're not as taxed or as busy working on that one thing every day for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I think Aaron wants to say something.
No. That's a good point to bring up because like, dude, what if I was just like, so Andy, you do just WAN, right? So like,
I know you like to say that, but yeah, sure.
Well, I heard it from you, Dad, so I don't know. So let's say you're siloed like Andy has like silos in his company. I do too. So like each person gets their own little spot. And let's say I was doing that for 10 years and I'm awesome at it. Like you asked me to do something that's outside of that. You might as well be me who never touches anything. You know what I mean?
Which honestly is where I am now. Like, I've been a WAN guy for like 8 years, and we had a reorg and my job completely changed, and now I'm not doing WAN. And I'm like, holy crap,
now what?
What's going on? So yeah, it's you're right. Like, I have 8 years experience as a network engineer, but I have no idea what I'm doing right now. But
so
I love you. I love when you say stuff like that. Like,
but no, every time that happens, Aaron, like we've talked about in the past, I turn around, I'm surrounded by brilliant people. I have no idea what I'm doing. And in a couple of years, I'm like, oh, okay.
Now
I rise to the level of what I'm surrounded by. So it just so happened recently.
AJ, what's the quote?
Have happened.
High tides make all boats rise.
There you go, Andy.
Yeah,
I like the fake it till you make it one. Like,
that's a good one.
I like get,
honestly.
Like, I like to. I like the get in where you fit in.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, a perfect example, Aaron. I asked you earlier. I have to turn up a wave circuit in a couple weeks. I have no idea what a wave circuit is, and I'm fighting with my telco guy for IP addresses and BGPAS. He's like, dude, you understand you're turning up a wave circuit, right? I ask Aaron. I'm like, what's a wave circuit? You know what I mean? And I've been a network engineer for 8 years. So, like, to your point, I mean, yeah, I've never
been in a firewall.
Yeah,
you can't know everything,
right?
I don't know
what
a wave
circuit is.
No, it's the theme.
Right. So you might have experience, but not in what you're looking for a position, maybe, you know?
So, again, I think this comes back to less on experience. I'm not trying to de-emphasize experience, right? There's a couple things I want to point out, right? So the first thing is it's not always on experience. It's the whole package, right? Can you learn? Can you learn, right? Are you willing to learn? Can you be coached? Do you have the drive, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have passion of this job, right? This world, this industry. And if you have those things, I don't care if you know less today than the other candidate, right? That doesn't have drive, that doesn't have passion, that can't learn, right? Those are critical traits to any network engineer role, in my opinion. And that's not network engineer, but network admin, network engineer, network architect. Those are critical traits. Now, to Andy, what you said about experience and being in a different role, our roles change all the time, right? Our roles will change. We'll have that next career move. We get into a new role. Our job tasks shift, right? When you're a network engineer, you're more on the CLI, hands-on. When you're an architect, you're potentially less CLI-driven, right? But that doesn't mean I lose that experience, right? I don't lose that experience. That experience is still part of my entire package. So for me, I'm at 20 years in the IT field, but out of that whole time, I worked on servers. I've been programming. I've done HTML. I've done software development. I've done networking. I've done incident response. I spent a year running a security operations center. Totally different field, but it's still IT, right? And all of that stuff brings me to today, and I can use every one of those experiences to help me guide all my decisions with my customers on every single day. And so for me, I don't limit myself saying that, yes, I'm a network architect, but I will have a talk with anyone on software development cycles, life cycles. I'll have a talk on incident response. We built out a SOC for a customer a couple months ago, and I'm not in a SOC role. I'm not in a security operations center role. That's all based on experience. Sorry, that's my soapbox. I'll stop.
No,
I think that's an important point there, where you came from, it helps you troubleshoot in your future roles, I think.
Yeah. No experience is wasted is basically that, right? Like, I mean, like I didn't have money for lunches like at school when I was a kid. Right. But that experience doesn't go away. Like I now understand the value of that. You know what I mean? So it's like, is that pertinent to my everyday living? Absolutely not. But does it make you a person, a certain type of person? And does that experience still exist? Absolutely. No. So I think probably what you mean, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but like, it's not that experience doesn't matter. It's that's like one of the lesser important things on the description itself, right? Like there's a lot of stuff in there, but for some strange reason, we all do this. For some strange reason, we all always, like, our eyes just zoom in to that part that says how many years experience I need. Like, why is that? There's like 6,000 words on this thing that mean apps. And if you read it, you're like, none of this makes any sense. But for some reason, I'm going to go ahead and decide that they really knew what they were talking about with that part, because the rest of the job description was so crisply written. That must be true, right? Like, was that the other slab that Moses was holding on top of the mountain or whatever that got electrocuted? Like, did it have all that stuff written in there? Must have 20 years experience. means. I'm like, no, it sure didn't.
I think Zig nailed it, and it's something that other people have echoed too. If, you know, how do you act under pressure? What do you do when you don't know something? Are you driven? Do you have passion? Are you motivated? Are you ambitious? We've heard that so many times. That's really, yeah, it's the recipe of, that's, you know, weird. If you have those things, if you don't know firewall, you're going to learn it.
Yeah.
Because you're that type of person. That's probably what's more important.
When you get to the level in this career, like network engineer level, right, I would say, you realize that you're never going to know everything, right? I think there's some naivety, if that's a word. I'm making up words, probably. words are not my language. Zeros and ones are my language.
Naiveness?
There, that's good.
See, naivety.
I think you're right.
It's naivety. You got it. You nailed it.
Yeah. Naivety.
I just couldn't pronounce it.
Naivety?
Nativity.
Nativity?
Nativity?
Nativity scene?
What? Naples, Florida. No.
But I don't even know where I was going with that now. You guys just...
sorry, dude.
Way to go.
Welcome to our Discord channel. Just be lucky we don't have GIFs, my friend.
And that's where Aaron says, that's my TED Talk.
And thank you for coming to my TED Talk. I'm guilty of this. I look at experience, although I make it a habit to tell every single person I know, like, don't you dare look at that experience. But sure as heck, second I open that job rec, I'm like, how much experience do you guys want? You know, it's intimidating.
It is intimidating. But you don't want to be in over your head, right? Like, yeah. If you're looking for a guy with 25 years and you got five, you're like, my God, I'm going
to
drown.
So riddle me this, though. How many times has this happened to you? You see the job description. It's got X amount of required years that you have to have. OJT, on the job training. You need XYZ certs, right? They have all these requirements. They're like, oh, by the way, it's for, you know, $83,000 a year. You have to have 6 CCIEs. You're like, okay. They're always stringent, right? They're always the most stringent. The people with the least amount of money are always the most stringent. They're like, you better be a freaking rocket scientist to get this job, even though we're only going to pay you $75. But don't you think that the certs, so because you mentioned the paper cert, right? Like, guy comes in, can't even do the CLI, right? He's just like, oh, gosh, I forgot what I was doing. That would be me totally. I'd be like, where was I? I'm not that bad, just to be.
I was going to say, I don't think that'd be you.
No, it wouldn't, but I'm just like, you know, kind of just playing the role here for a second, because it very well could be, you know, a year from now, who freaking knows? I would be like lost on there. But do you think that the certs don't necessarily show that you are good at OSPF area types, but they show that you learn on your own and you can be taught?
Yeah, I mean, I think any of the certs that we've mentioned, right, that there's a level of learning ability and focus and achieving your goals, right? And that tells you a little bit about that person, that character, those character traits we mentioned. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big fan of attacking your goals, and that's just kind of a term that I use. And if someone is driven enough to attack their goals, if that's going after CCNA, CCMP, and eventually a CCIE or CCDE, then that's clear, right? They know how to learn, and they know how to structure themselves in that test environment. I think that's critical, right? Mm-hmm. That's a critical skill set. That doesn't mean they know those technologies still today, right? I'm sure I don't know everything I learned on my first CCIE anymore, because I don't do it every day, right? But I know where to find the information, and I know enough to know, hey, I don't remember this. I need to look it up. I can't just wing it. You know what I mean? I can't just wing it on a lab environment or in a production environment. I need to go actually figure it out, validate that I'm still thinking the right way, and then do it.
Don't you think that most of that's like just wisdom, though, that comes with just living life? Like, hey, I know this about life now, right? Like, I think like 15 years into my career, I was like, dude, you don't have to be smart at all. You just have to know a bunch of smart people. Like, I thought that I unlocked the key to the city. I was like, dude, I don't have to think or study about anything. I just got a network. Right? I mean, I still do. I still study. I still do, you know, my own stuff, but I'm saying I could stop.
Yeah. I mean, you could, I guess, right? But I think that devalues yourself in some of these conversations. You might know who's smart and who to reach out to, but like in a situation where you need to have a conversation about a technology or a situation, you might be a little lacking, right? Like, for example,
well, yeah, I am, cloud, but
Well, you know, I wasn't going to say it, you know.
Well, you are talking to me about me, so it does make sense.
Not you.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Sorry.
He does look awful happy for some stupid
reason. I'm sorry, Dan. You're my bearded friend. I'm so sorry, buddy.
Wait, are we really calling that a beard? Are we doing that? Are we calling that a beard?
That's a beard.
That is a beard.
What? Look at that guy.
That's a beard.
It doesn't connect.
Oh, it's still
connects from here to here.
He's got a beard and a mustache.
Two mustaches, apparently, Andy.
Is that because of the little spot in between?
Yeah.
Left and the right.
Yeah.
It's there?
Okay, I'm with you.
I have that, too.
I don't get it.
But what I love is Andy was making fun of me about my mustache when he has no mustache.
Yeah, like, that's how he can do that. That's why what do they call that? Certain liberties that writers take when they are telling a story, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Poetic freedom or whatever. Poetic license.
Mustaches.
Hey, listen here. Just because my razor works.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hated shaving. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, you got a beard, too. So I know everybody can't see us at home here, but... Not yet.
It's cool. They'll find a picture somewhere.
Not yet. Yeah, we'll find some pictures.
Oh, not yet. Interesting.
Yeah. We'll get there. Yeah, we would like to put these on the... I feel like, you know, for whatever reason, people would probably like to see us. That's just me guessing. And since I don't know the answer, I can guess positively or negatively, right? I could be like, people would love to see us. I really have no idea. But you know what? Actually, that's the exact same mentality you have or should have when you're applying for jobs, whether it's a net admin or a net engineer. They're going to love me. Why wouldn't they? Right? Why would you be like, God, I hope they call me back? And like, you know, clenching your b-hole. I hope they call me back.
Oh, that's positive affirmations, my friend.
Yeah, I always tell people this too, because we were just having a conversation, because this is great, because I like this, selfishly. So we talk about the difference between a net admin and a net engineer, and then even like a sysadmin or like a systems engineer, whatever, like kind of like the evolution of where you could be, but like, you know, we back up far enough, and like you said, that's what gets you in, because you mentioned that's what gets your foot in the door, right? Because that's something I heard you say. That seems to be the biggest that you did. That seems to be the biggest obstacle from what we've been noticing with, like, I'll just call it like our community, right? Like the Art of Network Engineering community. Like, they people struggle, and I think it's because, this is me guessing, I think it's because, like, first of all, by nature, when it comes to, like, our futures, we're, like, optimistically pessimistic. And what I mean by, like, that is, like, certain things we overthink joy about. Like, gosh, this trip to Disneyland is going to be badass. We never, ever think, like, oh, this could potentially be awful if we go to Disneyland and my two kids get the flu and all the bathrooms are shut down and all of a sudden it starts raining. Like, no one ever thinks about that kind of stuff, right? They're like, we're going to Disneyland. But for some reason, when we're like applying for jobs and stuff, we're like, or we go to an interview and we leave, and you know the feeling when you leave an interview, you're just like drained. You're like, ugh. like literally a weight has been lifted off your shoulders. You're just, gosh, I'm wrecked, emotionally exhausted. And then the same with like sending out resumes and applying for stuff. But the thing is, we're always super pessimistic about that. We're like, yeah, I don't know. They probably won't call me back. They want somebody who's much smarter than me, you know? Why can't we just all agree that every time we send something out, we just look intrinsically, like, I'll just give you an example. I'm going to look at inner Aaron here. Okay. I'm going to send out my resume, I'm going to look at inner Aaron, I'm going to go, you know what? These folks would be freaking crazy not to love me. And if I don't hear back from them, that's because they're not smart enough to realize who I am. Like let's just do it right now. Let's just shift the collective mind of everybody that's listening to this. Like guys, you are, guys and gals, you are badass. You've heard it on the show, this particular show. You've heard like a ton of stories up until this point. Ziggs is no exception to that rule. he just happens to know, because he's been there for a long time, you know, he's got hiring wherewithal and things like that. So he's been on both sides of the table. So let's just all collectively agree that we're going to think positively about our job future, not just future in general, but job future. Like, how many people do you think, if you polled them right now and you asked them, hey, do you think you're going to get cancer within the next 10 years? How many people do you think would say, yeah, odds are that I'll probably get it? Like, how many people are going to say that? I would be willing to bet that it'd be zero, right?
Yeah, it'd be none.
Yeah, even though you could probably show them data that, like, hey, you know, 2.5 out of 10 of you is going to end up with something, right? So you gotta plan for that. But we don't do that with anything else. It's like, let's just think positively about, you know, like.
Yes.
I think, Aaron, if I could get cheesy for a second.
Please do.
Exactly what you're saying. It reminds me of, like, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody will. So if you're going into an interview and you don't think you're the shit and you don't think you belong there, am I allowed to say yes?
Yep.
Am I allowed to say the S word on this? Sorry.
You did.
I didn't mean to.
No, it just means mean business. That's all I heard.
Well, here's why I want to get a little cheesy is, years ago, somebody turned me on to this dude, and he's way probably too woo-woo foo-foo for our audience, but this guy named Wayne Dyer, and he had this whole thing called the power of intention. And basically what his whole thing was that, you know, every action is predicated by a thought. You can't pick up a glass of water unless you think about it. So you can, if you can change, to what you're saying, your attitude, your thoughts, if you can change how you're thinking, that can help you create what you intend to create in your own life. So I'll, as an example, the two network engineering jobs I've had, both of which I was underqualified for, and going back to the experience, you know, the Christmas wish list of what they wanted me to have. My first job, I had 2% of what they had listed in that thing, and they gave me the job. Mm. And the job I have now, I had maybe 10% of that laundry list of things. But I can tell you just from what this guy told me years ago, that the two times I did that, I went into those interviews saying, I'm going to get this job. I'm going to kick its ass. I'm going to do the best I can. And if they don't hire me, all right, man, like, that wasn't the spot for me. I bombed both interviews and I got both jobs. Now, we'll never know if, because my mindset going in was like you're saying, Aaron, that, you know what, I am going to think positively and say this is great. And so you know, I think that there's power in how we talk to ourselves and our thought process going into things. And if you're going in with a defeatist attitude, if you don't believe in yourself, nobody will. And it's an easy little tweak you can do, but you know, it's a mental game. I think interviews, I think, are a mental game.
It's like the same with, you know, remember the school dances? Like, this is the same thing. It's like, as afraid as you were to talk to the opposite sex, you have, it's the same feeling you get, like, when you were in seventh grade, and this is for guys and girls, I don't care which one you are. If, like, when you're going to apply to these, you just don't want to be rejected, because you think that it's going to take away, like, so much of you as a person, but it just doesn't. It's like, all right. I mean, like, the point I made earlier in the Discord channel was like, look, those companies are already ignoring you, right? They don't even know you exist. So if you apply, unless they reach out to you, things aren't changing. Like, they still don't know who the heck you are, you know, and some automated thing tells you you didn't get in. Whoop-de-freaking-do. You know, we're, the point of this really is just to kind of sum it all up, right? Is like, net admin, net engineer, it doesn't matter. Experience, whatever. Certifications, these are all quote-unquote requirements. I would say personally, the only thing that I feel like you can't get away with in the requirements field is something like a security clearance or something, you know, like that. That's like a non-negotiable. It's like, hey, you need this, and you can't just get it, right? Like, you gotta go through a process. But all, everything else that we've mentioned up to this point, which is whatever the job description says, no matter what kind of, like, little nomenclature or how many words they jam in there, it doesn't matter. Do a couple of things, change your mindset. And do not be afraid of rejection, because it's not that bad. I'll actually say this, that going up to that guy or girl at the homecoming dance in seventh grade is much more difficult. Much more difficult than sitting in front of someone and having them ask you who you are. Like, guys, look, I said this earlier too. The one thing you know the best is yourself. Okay. So if you cannot seem to formulate answers that revolve around you, whom you spend 24 hours a day with 7 days a week, you should know yourself better than anything. Not more than anybody else should, but yes, but also more than anything, you should know yourself. Because, like, you can't escape yourself. And like Andy was saying, before you even pick up a glass of water, you're thinking. You're in your head constantly. That's all you're doing. So it's up to you, man. Just either keep on thinking that way or just take 2 seconds out of your day and try to fundamentally shift it the other direction. I mean, this isn't groundbreaking stuff here. This is, like, how many books have been written about this stuff? One thing I do want to point out, though, is Andy, I forgot the guy's name that you mentioned, the guy who said all that stuff.
Malcolm Gladwell.
No, not Malcolm Gladwell, because I love that dude.
Wayne Dyer.
Wayne Dyer. When you said that, I saw Dan smile, and I almost felt like Dan had a bad experience with Wayne Dyer, and I'm dying to hear it. But am I lying? Am I just full of it, Dan? Or are you just smiling?
Which part?
Are you just having a good time over there?
Which part? You have to remind me which part.
He mentioned the guy's name after he said he was talking about just that, which is like, hey, you have a fundamental choice of like how you're going to think about things. And he mentioned the guy's name and you smiled. I don't know if you just thought it was a stupid name or you had a story about it, but no. Sounds like you just thought it was a stupid name. All right, I'll shut up.
All right, so I'll add some stuff if you don't mind.
Yeah,
go
ahead.
This is an important conversation to have, and I think everyone that's listening can get something out of it for sure. You have to be okay with having an open mind on everything you're trying to accomplish in life, right? So, you know, that interview, you gotta allow yourself to be positive, right? And not be stressed. You gotta allow yourself to do the best you can, right? Be confident, but not arrogant, right? That's the key. Be confident about what you know, but not overly confident where you become off arrogant and rude. And honestly, use every single situation as a learning experience. Like, that's like when I'm ready to move to a new role, not that I'm ever going to move to a new role anytime soon. So just so that's clear. But when I'm ready to look for a new role, I start interviewing, because that is a skill set. You need practice. You need constant practice. And I'd rather have practice on the 10 or 20 or 30 interviews that I don't care about.
Yep.
Then not have it on the one I care about and fail, right?
Yep.
So I want to have overwhelming practice, get it all those kinks out, know how I'm going to talk about myself, and be prepared. So, I mean,
you know,
practice, practice, practice.
You're right about that. Actually, that thank you for saying that, because that's actually what I started to say, but, you know, the ADHD sometimes, it's got its own plans. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Squirrel. So I took it off in a completely different way. But no, dude, you're right. You're dead on. Like, you literally have two choices on how you can look at things. There's only two. You can either think of it as a positive or a negative. You have two choices. And whether or not you think you did, you did. You chose. And you chose the negative outlook.
Mm-hmm.
So if you could just, maybe this will help, if you could just recognize that there's a decision point there, take the other direction, right? I got this. I know we say it out loud. I'm quickly becoming this like motivational speaker, dude. Like,
I'm all for it, man. I got tons of stuff coming your way. So keep going.
All right. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
I can't wait for your actual TEDx talk.
Yes.
TEDx San Diego.
I know.
Official TEDx.
It's just me like rambling. They're like, wait, why did we come here? I'm like, and thank you for coming to my TED talk.
Aaron, do you know why we tend toward the negative, all of us?
I probably should, given the amount of books that I've read, including Malcolm Gladwell.
The psych people say it's just a survival instinct. The guy, the people who were hiding in a cave that assumed there was a tiger outside lived longer.
To think about how to react to
than
that.
Than the optimists who were like, I'm going to go outside today and get some sun, and there'll be no tiger. So we're fighting millions of years of evolution of
that's,
survival.
That's
but
a good point.
We don't I think that's psychologically why we tend toward the negative. So the point is, you have to make a decision and you have to fight that.
If you can recognize the decision, right? I think that maybe that's the key.
Right.
Is like knowing that you actually did make a decision when you didn't realize that you did, right? Because I'm like, maybe us pointing that out right now, people are going to go, holy crap, I do have a choice on whether or not I think about mm-hmm. this in a negative way or not. And that's why, like, I'm here to help. Obviously, I got... You know, it's hard to practice what you preach all the time. I'm sure Tony Robbins, you know, people pissing his Cheerios, I'm sure, right? Like, he's full of crap. Like, I'm sure he wakes up in a bad mood some days, you know what I mean? And I do too. We all do. And that's okay. But, like, I'm if someone needs the motivation, like, I got you. I'm not saying that I got my own enough motivation for myself. Like, I don't. But it's a lot easier for me to tell you what you should be doing rather than putting that into practice. Like, for some strange reason, maybe that's like the instructor or like the trainer in me, right? But it's true. Like, I'm totally okay with looking at people's stuff, like their resumes. I'm looking at job descriptions and I'm like, hey, like, this is what I would do. It's not wrong or right. Maybe just a different approach. Go with this. You know, but like, I got that in gangbusters, dude. Like, I got more than that than I know what to do with. But it's like, hey, you going to get this CCNP SD-WAN cert by the end of the year? Probably not. Why? Because I'm too busy hyping other people up, and I ain't got time for that.
Do you want it bad enough, though?
Well, okay, so that brings me to another question, because no, yeah. I don't. I can answer that very, very empirically, because I know where you're going with that, and I feel the same way you'd probably do, too. But you mentioned attacking your goals earlier. Mm-hmm. Give me an example.
Any goal in your life. I'll give you some of mine, right?
Well, not an example of a goal, but how do I attack it?
You make decisions that directly achieve your goals. Those decisions could be small decisions, right? So a small decision might be, maybe you're trying to lose weight. Something not even IT related, right? Maybe you're trying mm-hmm. to get healthy, lose weight. Not saying you have to be like a full-time bodybuilder or anything. But let's say for me personally, I need to lose about 40 pounds. So if that's my goal, right, then on a daily basis, I should mentally be focused on making the decisions to achieve that goal. So mm-hmm. if it's like tonight, my wife wanted ice cream, right? So did I get ice cream for myself? No, because I want to lose weight. Now, I could have made the easy decision and gotten ice cream. I could have mm-hmm. easily gotten ice cream and ate it. And then tomorrow I've been like, well, I'm never going to make my goal, right? I'm never going to make that goal that I'm looking to achieve. But if I consistently, that doesn't mean all the time. That means consistently make valid, hard decisions,
yep.
which are the right decisions, I will achieve my goal. Right?
So it's that interesting. You said hard because yep. I think that's the key. Let me just tell you a little bit about my day today. Most of my day has been spent, well, when I wasn't arguing with Andy, the rest of my day.
That was like your whole afternoon.
No, it wasn't.
That's all about
waves, no,
right?
Cause, no, it wasn't, because I was in like five different chat rooms. Andy only got a small piece. He got 20% of my arguments. The other bit of my energy was spent like basically doing this. I was like, let's go, let's get this. Come on, what are we doing? Let's go. Yeah.
This is what I do every day, man.
So yeah, I mean, well, it was to guys in the Discord that were, you know, we were just kind of chatting, and I was like, no. I was like, first of all, you guys ain't doing nothing right now. You're just chatting with me. I'm like, get off your butt and go change this, right? Like, come on. Like, sometimes you just need like a thing, and I think like hearing, you know, your experience and maybe some of your advice as far as like what hiring managers do and things like that, like, that helps, right? But I think that they always kind of look at it, and I'm generalizing like our quote unquote mm-hmm. community at this point, but I'm going to use this opportunity for us to kind of speak for them, because I do think that they appreciate that to some extent. And it's like, I think that the long view is maybe something that they miss. So like the short term is very near and present, but like you said, it's like, you need to even make it shorter term if that's the case. If you're going to make it short term, make it even shorter term and make it a minute by minute situation. So just what is it you have to do today to get to where you want to be? Because you mentioned, how bad do I want it? I think it usually comes down to the why, right? Because motivation is finite. Like and that's literal, right?
Yep.
Like we know that because there's only so much. Like it literally takes energy. Like your amygdala takes like all this energy. It takes the most energy, like your prefrontal cortex, to process like decision making and things like that. And it like literally drains you of calories, which is why you feel tired, because that's accurate. You were actually thinking too hard. Most of that thinking was probably you talking yourself in or out of something. All right. Like, well, I don't know. This says this. I mean, quite honestly, what this comes down to is it's easy to do nothing and it's hard to do stuff. And there are varying levels of hard, but they all fit in the same category. Doing the laundry is technically hard because it's not passive. It's nothing, right? You still have to get up and actually do stuff. It's kind of a pain in the butt, but we can all probably agree, even though none of us have done it but you, that a CCIE lab is much harder than laundry, right? So, like, they happen to be in the same bucket because they're both not just sitting on my ass watching Netflix, you know? Yeah. And that's a passive thing. That's easy. But, like, I don't know that habits are necessarily, like, you know, something that you need to always work toward either. I just think that, like, when you're sitting there and you're making the conscious decision to watch Netflix or to not watch Netflix, because that's a decision too, that just recognize that you have that you're at a crossroads anytime that happens. Like right now, am I thirsty enough? Because I saw AJ drinking a beer. Am I thirsty enough to go get a beer? The answer is no, because I want to sit here and talk to you guys. You're welcome. I would rather hang out with you guys than drink a beer.
So, no, I think that's right on, right? Like, I think it's 100%. It's the decisions you make in the moment, right? Like, and I'm not trying to make it all about me, but I want to make it clear. Like, I make decisions for my goals, not for me to be happy in the moment, right?
Mm.
And I don't always do that. I'm not always consistent on a decision-by-decision basis. Mm-hmm. But if you look at a snapshot over a week or a month, I'm going to be 95% consistent, right? And that's the goal. That's the goal, is to be overwhelmingly consistent on your goals, those little steps, those decisions. And then before you know it, you're going to achieve those goals.
And that's a good example, way to look at it.
A good example, yeah. How do I put it in perspective? So I used to say this: if I plan to work out 3 days a week, right? Mm-hmm. If that's my plan to work out 3 days a week, I'm realistically probably going to only work out 1 day a week. If that's what I'm shooting to do, realistically, the way my personality works, I'm going to find an excuse. I'm going to go, you know, sleep longer or whatever. Something's going to come up at work, and I'm going to get one workout in.
Mm.
Nowadays, I shoot for working out 7 days a week because I know my mindset that if I want to work out more than 3 days a week or at least 3 days a week, I need to plan to work out 7 days a week.
Mm.
And what happens is I work out 5 to 6 days a week, right? That just happens. It happens because I'm shooting for a higher outcome. Another example, right? Like, I have a lot of goals. And for me, I get up at 4:30 in the morning, every morning, to attack my goals. So I make the decision to set my alarm to wake up at 4:30. For me, it might be easier because of the military background. Right, I'm used to getting up at 4:30 in the morning.
Definitely.
You know, it is what it is, right? But I'm making a conscious decision when that alarm goes off not to go back to sleep, right? That's the easy decision, right? That's what I'm trying to say. Like, it's so much easier to hit snooze,
100%.
Go back to sleep, comfort of that bed, you know, whatever.
Well, I just pointed it out, right? Like, definitely making decisions to do things takes actual caloric processing. You know what I mean? Like, you could get hungry from thinking too much. We've all done it. We've all taken tests and we're like, gosh, why am I so hungry, right? Or why am I so drained? It's like, you literally are drained because it's harder. And AJ and I just talked about this. Everybody was like kind of out. So AJ and I had our own show for one night. So that was pretty cool. No rude interruptions, but
just the two of us.
I'm kidding. No, so AJ and I were touching on this a little bit too. With like the decision making process and like, you know, being like finite and, you know, how do you do it? And, you know, it's like that, this is like one of the hardest things to do, but in your case, you're outsmarting yourself. You're saying, hey, I know realistically I'll probably get 3 to 4 days in if I tell myself I'm working out every day. That's great, because then you can still take those like shortcuts, right? But you're still helping yourself. what's hard for people to do is to see that, like you, because you're an example of that process working perfectly, whereas 5% of your time is probably you giving up 5 to 10%. And it's usually the other way around, like 90% giving up, right? And so, like, what do you have? What do you want? What is it you're trying to get? It's hard to make those decisions. It's even harder to apply them when you're not being rewarded, because the things that we do on a daily basis as network engineers or network admins is that we typically study and read about stuff, and there's no goal in sight. We're chasing a carrot on a fishing pole. We're never going to get it. You know, just like those cartoons, like those Looney Tunes, we're never going to get the carrot. Part of it is like, that's what's so cool, is because we get to constantly learn stuff, but there's no finish line, so we never get to go, but it doesn't matter, because you have one CCIE, and at some point you thought to yourself, geez, that wasn't enough punishment, let me go get a second one, and went through that whole process again, right? So clearly you even got to what a lot of people, especially like in our community, would look at as, this is the upper echelon of certifications. Like, it's world renowned CCIE. It is the de facto, like, OG. This is the cream of the crop, top of the pyramid, and you went out and got a second one, because I'm willing to bet that once you got done with the first one, there was some celebration, there was some rapture, there's a little rejoice there. You guys were like, hey, this is great. And then quickly right after that, you're like, all right, now what, right? Yeah. Like, first of all your time is back,
man. I got addicted. So,
well, you get really good at getting really good at stuff. Yes. That's the other part of it, right? It's like,
I love the labbing. This is specific to me. I love the labbing experience and just labbing all day. And I just enjoyed it so much. And then the thrill of taking the lab exam, you know, just the thrill of getting ready, the rush of going to the lab exam, taking it, and not knowing if you passed or failed, right? All that. So I actually enjoyed that a lot.
Dude, I'm just glad that you have not been introduced to any hard drugs.
Yeah, I'm having a very addictive personality, and if you actually,
because you got addicted to CCIEs, dude. If anybody put a needle in front of you, you're done for.
No, I'm good.
a sleeve of Oreos.
Oreo, I'm done.
A sleeve of Oreos. Oreo a cookies, needle.
Man. Ice cream, poof, gone.
Yeah, sorry, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, food is my kryptonite, seriously, but I have to be mindful about the food. Like, seriously, like, I mean, when I did my CCIE, and I want to make it clear that, like, I have all these certifications, right? I want to make everyone know that I failed the CCNA, I failed the CCNP. Like, this isn't, like, I don't want people thinking that, like, I'm at this higher level and I'm, like, whatever, untouchable, because I'm not. Like, this isn't, they're hard exams, I will say that. All these exams are hard, but they're exams. So frame it up so it's something that you can obtain. It's just an exam. That's all it is. It's a very hard exam, but people can achieve it and you can achieve it too.
I always have this thought anytime I'm doing anything like that. Like, exams is one of them. But even something as simple as like let's say I was like mounting a ceiling fan or something, right? And the instructions are just wonky. And I'm trying to figure it out. I'm like, what in the hell? Where does this piece go? You know, that type of stuff. I always have this thought in my head. Did the same thing on the CCNP. Every single time, I think out loud to myself, somebody made this. Another person created this. And that person is not smarter than me. Okay? Like, that is not happening to me. I am not going to let the guy who created the ceiling fan instructions to outsmart me. Like, just like I'm not letting the dude who created the T-shirt exam outsmart me. That ain't happening. Guy or girl, I don't care who it is. Like, you're another person. You might as well be sitting across from me right now. I take that personal, and I go in that with a vengeance. I'm like, I'm beating the heck out of this test. I don't care what you say. Now, I've, of course, failed it several times, but, you know.
But that's real, right? That's I think that's extremely real to explain to people, right, that you still fail. Now, failure is a best learning experience. Right? Failure is by far the best learning experience. The only thing you can truly do and fail is not continuing, right? So not making a decision. I think you can make a decision and it can be the wrong decision and then you learn from it, but you cannot make a decision and then you just fail because you didn't make a decision, right? And you dwelled and you didn't progress. But as long as you make a decision and if you pass or fail, you learn from that failure.
Hmm. I would agree. Like, yes, good or bad, I think, like, everything you do, of course, you should be taking something away from. Because, like, we pointed it out earlier. It was the discussion about the, gosh, what is going on with my head right now? About failing. Come on, guys, set me up here. Failing? We've been talking about it the whole time. Anyway, but you brought it up anyway. So, I mean, like, really, it's like, pretty much I think what we're learning here is like, hey, you learn pretty much in everything you do. You have a choice as to whether you're going to look like in front of you and think of that positively or negatively. You also have a choice as to whether or not you're going to recognize when you're at a decision point. And decision points happen every 2 nanoseconds for you, right? Like, you know, am I going to scratch my head? Am I going to adjust my glasses?
Am I going to go to bed? Am I going to go to bed?
Yeah, Aaron, you know, so 10:30. You know, you and I had this conversation while I was studying for Encore, and it kind of resonated with me, right? Like, life is full of micro decisions. And so, you know, I fell into habits of, like, playing games on my phone and, you know, playing games in the bathroom. I mean, let's be serious. Everybody does that, right? So, after you said that to me, it was just like, you know what? He's right. He's right. So instead of pulling up the game on my phone, I pulled up a flashcard app and I started doing flashcards. And sure, it was only like 5-10 minutes, whatever, but it made an impact because it was 5 or 10 minutes several times throughout the day and the evening. Instead of like relaxing on the couch and playing games, I pulled up the flashcard app and I sat down and I did flashcards instead of playing games. I don't play games at all anymore on my phone. It just, I kicked that bad habit. I spend time, you know, if I'm not reading a book, I'll do some flashcards or whatever, and all of that time adds up and it makes a huge impact. And just like Zig said, it's working towards the goals. Like, what am I doing to contribute to the success of my goals?
Yep. Yeah. And again, though, I think the key there is what you just said is like, you had the conscious thought that you knew that you were at a decision point. So really what I would say as a takeaway for all this is start being aware or conscious of the decision points. I'm not saying change anything about your decision. This is baby steps. Just be aware of the decision. The decision is in front of you and be aware when it is. That's all you need to do. And at that point, once you start to realize, hey, I'm at a decision point right now, because AJ, you did the exact same thing. You're at decision points. You pulled your phone out. This is how far you got into the decision-making process. You pulled your phone out and you made a conscious decision. I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do this instead.
Exactly.
So this, we're killing it here, but we're also killing the hour as well. Zig, do you have any final, beautiful, wrap this thing in a bow for us, dude?
Wrap it in a bow, man. Oh, wow. Leave it to me, right? So the whole preference was network engineer, the role of network engineer, you know, what is it, what does it mean, all those kind of things, right, all those questions. And I think we identified the network engineer role at a high level. I think we made it very clear that it potentially isn't necessarily based on experience, but it's based on your personality and your characteristics and the traits that you have, and if you can do the job and if you can't do the job. And we talked about a lot about security certifications and whatnot, right? I would say I would personally leave it like this. You know, you got to make decisions in life. You got to make those decisions that really attack your goals. And I hate to use my own term on that, right? Attack your goals every day.
No, I like it.
But you really do need to be mindful of the decisions you make. And like what Aaron just said, right? I would frame it up over the course of a period of time. So if it's a week or a month, be open to seeing the decisions you're making. Don't make any changes, right? Don't make any changes for the next week, but be open. Realize those decisions you're making, right? And you'll realize real quick, hey, that's 5 minutes. That's 15 minutes. That's an hour right there. Mm-hmm. I could easily be doing this, right? And then before you know it, you'll start making those decisions and really attacking your goals and being successful and making progress.
Yeah, you probably will end up, and this is just a guess, like in those decision points where you're like, you know, you got the remote in your hand and you're about to turn on Netflix. It might get to the point where, you know, because since you're not changing anything, like you go to Netflix, but since you know you made that decision, you feel guilty about it. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what gets you to, you know, change it. But like Zig said, don't change anything. Just recognize the decision point. And then if you need to, you know, in the future, once you've gotten good at recognizing those decision points, just change it once a day. That'll be your first step. You notice a decision point, make your one change for the day, call it a day. That's it. So you don't have to study every day. You don't have to study every hour. You don't have to study 6 hours a day. Throw all that crap out the window. You know, you don't have to spend hours doing certain things. Follow the 80-20 principle. If you don't know what that is, Google it. It'll save your life.
It will.
And Zig, where can we find you? I know you said it at the top of the hour, but give us another refresh as to where we can find you on the internet.
Of course. My site is zigbits.tech. So ZIGBITS.tech. And then you can find me on Twitter. That's Zig_Ziga. ZIG_ZSIGA. And anywhere where that name is, I'm on YouTube and LinkedIn and everywhere else too.
Yeah, be conscious of the last name. It's ZSIGA. So there's a hidden silent S in there.
It's harder. It makes it harder than it is. I promise. It's just a Ziga.
I bet if you type Zig, you'll be good.
Yeah, just type Zig. You know, there's not many. Good. I'm not Zig Ziglar. I'm Zig Ziga. So
Zig Ziglar. Yeah. You are the official unofficial Spice Girls lyric.
There you go.
And with that,
you gotta do it though. You said it. You gotta do it.
Almost made it.
I think it's like, ah.
There, he did it. He did it. Oh yeah.
My wife. Just so everybody knows, my wife used to love the Spice Girls. Probably still does, don't you? No. She said no. She did at one point. She went through a phase. She was a teenager. We can't pick on her too much, but. She was 11. Right? Sorry, it was worse than a teenager.
Not even a teenager.
Yeah, she was a preteen. So she had a little face. So she's very aware of the thing. So she really got a kick out of the fact I just did a Spice Girls lyric. So you're welcome, everybody. So cool. Yeah, look him up. We'll put all that stuff in the show notes. I think I said something at the top of the hour that I wanted people to shout us out, but I don't really remember. But congratulations to Carl and how do you say his name?
Bhavesh.
Okay. Bhavesh. I was going to hack that. I was Bavish. Shout out to you guys for getting your certs this week. Thank you so much for participating. Until the next episode, see ya!
Hey everyone, this is AJ. If you like what you heard today, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Smash that bell icon to get notified of all of our future episodes. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at @ArtOfNetEng. That's @ArtOfNetEng. You can also find us on the web at artofnetworkengineering.com, where we post all of our show notes. You can read blog articles from the co-hosts and guests, and also a lot more news and info from the networking world. Thanks for listening.